away from all of you, you will be all right too. You know, as you read through your Bible, there you find many different lists. If you remember, almost four years ago, Connie and I first got here, we started talking about the Holy Spirit, and we went to Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And we said those two verses over and over and over as we were talking about the Holy Spirit for about a four-month period. And now, if I ask you, you can tell me what Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, because you memorized it and repeating it. And we're going to be working with a list for the next several months. Well, not several weeks at least, as we watch the Lord work. If we were going to go out shopping, I might make a list of things I wanted to buy, and you might make a list of things you wanted to buy. And they wouldn't be exactly the same if we looked at them side by side. Maybe I want to go to Lowe's. I like Lowe's. My wife doesn't like me to go to Lowe's. I go to the tool department. Like Tim the tool man, I like to look at tools. There's always something I think I need. Never use it, but I think I need it. And if you go to the grocery store, you have a list of things that would be different than mine. It all depends on what we're doing as to what our list might have on it. There are lists in the Bible, and we're going to be looking at one today. And then when we get back from, Connie and I get back from New Jersey, we're going to look at that list again and again and again for a few weeks. The list is in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. And let's read that list. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity or love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall never neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. With these few verses, it's given to us the formula for the proper development and maturing of the Christian, of the child of God, his soul and his life. The experience of living a truly Christian life is a dynamic one. It is not stagnant. And if it becomes stagnant, there's something wrong in the heart. But the experience of living a Christian life is to be dynamic. It was always intended for God to be that way. It has been that way from the very beginning. Now, those who are not fulfilling the will of God are sinning against their Lord, Jesus Christ. The one who died for their sin by shedding his blood on the cross. Those who abdicate the will of God for them are actually traitors to the faith. I hear that word traitor bandied about in the news. And the one thing that we cannot afford within the church is to be a traitor to our Lord and Savior. It's one thing to be a traitor to your nation. And in time of war, that's punishable by death. But to be a traitor against our Lord Jesus Christ means that we have no interest in promoting what he wants us to promote and accomplishing what he wants us to accomplish. And this is what this thing is going to be all about. You might think you're perfect, okay? I do. Look at this, yeah. But I'm not. There's room for me to improve. There's room for me to come into a different relationship with God than what I am in right now. And each one of you have that same opportunity to move from where you are at to a place closer to God. And that's what we want to look at. That's what we want to talk about. Peter explains in his second epistle here that the case that a person should never be stagnant in their Christian faith. Every day there should be a little improvement somewhere. And Peter, speaking through his second epistle, explains that how that transaction should take place. It starts with faith. And if you are saved this morning, and I believe that probably every one of you are, if you are saved this morning, then you did exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, as it says in Romans 10:9. You have confessed him. You have believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you are saved. But that is not the end. That is just the beginning. And so many children of God, once that transaction takes place, they stop. Churches stop. They become stagnant. And folks, a stagnant Christian is a dead Christian. And we do not want that. That's not what God intended. There is more. Now, yes, I understand that a person gets saved by faith plus nothing. God does the work. The Holy Spirit does the work. You're born again. But all of Scripture is given to us by God. And he has given us every single word for a reason. And I want to share with you that reason this morning and what others say other than Peter. James, for example, in James 2:20 says, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Now, he doesn't let it end there. He goes on to say, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. James 2:26. Faith without works is dead. You're supposed to be different. You're supposed to be different than you were before you were saved. You're supposed to be a new creation in Jesus Christ. We all are. And if you are the same person today that you were before you got saved, you never got saved. That's what God's Word says. And that's what we have to judge ourselves by. Are we different? And folks, it's so easy. I like comfort. That's why I'm overweight. I'm comfortable eating. I like comfort. And so many Christians are comfortable where they're at. They go to church on Sunday, go to church on Wednesday night. But that's not what God intended. Why do we come to church? Why do we meet here every day? Every Sunday, twice. On Wednesday, once. We are all headed for the same destination. Folks, we're on a journey. We are traveling. We're traveling through time. We're traveling through life. And we are all headed for the same place. We all want to wind up with Jesus Christ. And that's why we meet here. We meet to compare notes, to talk about our journey. Some of you can warn us about pitfalls and bumps in the road and potholes, which we have a bunch of around here. And so we meet together to support one another and to work in one another's life, to be an encouragement. I love you folks. And a few minutes ago, I saw you folks loving each other. That's what it's all about, people. But there's more. There's more. And I want to share that more with you so that you can experience it. If we're going from point A to point B, many different ways we can get there, but we're all walking one step at a time. If you look back, you'll see all the different steps that brought you to where you are right now. And some of those steps were giant steps. Some were little baby steps. And some of us are still taking little baby steps, because we don't want to trip over something in the way and break our face. But we're all supposed to be different. 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things, when it says are become new, the word is actually are becoming new. You are not supposed to be the same today you were yesterday, or the week before, or a month ago. Every one of us are supposed to be different today. and we're supposed to be different tomorrow. And that's what I want to talk to you about. God has a plan. It's been there all the time. I may not have seen it quite the way I see it right now, but God has a plan. He's got a plan for each one of you. He's got something He wants you to do tomorrow, if He gives you tomorrow. He may not always give us tomorrow. There are times when we go to bed at night and wake up in His presence. What a glorious way to go. There are others of us who are going to have maybe a tough journey. Maybe there's going to be some uncomfortableness. But it's a journey that God has laid out for you. It's a journey God has laid out for me. So this morning, while we're all gathered here, let's ask God to help show us what He wants from us. And then together, arm in arm. It's no fun if you're out there alone. Got nobody to complain to. But arm in arm, we walk together on this journey that God has laid out for us, and knowing that one day we are going to be standing at His throne. Then not arm in arm necessarily, but praising and adoring Him. So let's ask the Lord to help us to see this. And then let's see what He wants you and me to do about it. Let's ask Him for some help. Father, we could do come before You again, because You are God. And Father, nothing is too hard for You. Nothing is impossible for You. A lot of things we can't do, Father, not in our own strength. And so many times, Father, you reach down from heaven and You give us what we do not deserve. And You give us strength, and You give us the power of Your Holy Spirit working in our bodies and our hearts. And for that, Father, we thank You. Help us to see this morning the path that You want us to take. And Father, help us to have the faith and the courage to walk that path and to get to where You want us to get. And Father, we will praise You for all that You do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you know, there's different ways that we can clean our homes. Okay? We can go through the house and hit all the high spots where we think people are going to see, and leave all the other stuff what you hope they never see. Or you can, in the military, they have what they call a white glove inspection, where you go through and you clean everything, whether it can be seen or not. Very thorough. Very thorough. One of the things that God wants us to do, He wants us to work on our lives. And I know that Your life is perfect the way it is, but he might actually want some of us to clean our lives up. Now, the first type of cleaning, where you just go where you think people are going to see, that's not really thorough. And there is something that God wants from all of us. We're going to see the word here this morning. God, do you think he wants you to do a half-hearted job, or do you think he wants you to do an excellent job? I'm content with a half-hearted job. Jimmy and I, we talk about birthdays. I always blame birthdays for when I don't want to do something. But God does want excellence from us. And if we're honest with each other right now, not a single person in this auditorium are giving him the excellence that he wants, including myself. And so that's where we want to start. When it comes to serving Jesus, he wants excellence of service. No slothfulness is acceptable. And most Christians, and maybe some of us, we go through life giving him what we think he'll be satisfied with. Mediocre. Well, this is good enough for now. Next week I'll do something a little better. Or, Lord, I'm tired. It's been a long day. I don't have time to sit down and read my Bible tonight and study my Sunday school lesson and do the things you seem to expect me to do. All of us do it. We're human, and that's our excuse. Well, Lord, I'm just a man. When we go to God, when we go to God in prayer, when we go to God in service, that's what he's asking from us. He's asking for our service. He's asking for our prayer. We have to realize who we're talking to. We are talking to the God who made the universe. To the God where nothing is impossible. Does not matter what's going on in your life, God can fix it. And he wants to. But sometimes we're too busy. Sometimes we're not where he wants us to be. As Christians, it's sometimes hard for us to strive for excellence. Life gets in the way. Life seems to be getting in the way a lot lately. Different situations in life involving you as an individual, involving your family, involving your loved ones. And God is expecting you to give him excellence, and we are compromising our time, taking care of things here and not things in eternity. It's become unusual to see a Christian striving for excellence. Really. Self gets in the way. we don't want to expend the effort that it would take to do things in an excellent way. And I chide myself for the things I'm not doing. And you probably do the same thing at some point in your life, or you, the way you're doing them. Verse 3 here in Peter contains a key. Now, if you worked around the church here, you'd have a lot of keys. Some you know what they fit, some you don't have any idea what they fit. You just have to keep trying. But verse 3 contains a key to unlocking the Christian experience. God does not want you locked up in solitary confinement. God wants you to be able to open any door that will be of benefit to you and to Him and to His purpose for you. God wants to provide everything that you need to be a success. Everything. And there's a way He does this. And the key is one little word: knowledge. Knowledge. He wants you to know all about Him. He wants you to know all about Jesus. Knowledge. It comes out of this book. And as we read it day by day, we acquire a little bit here and a little bit there, but we are moving closer and closer and closer to where He wants us to be. Knowledge is the key. It unlocks life. It does. Opens up all the doors. We don't need to fight our way through life. We can walk our way through life with God, with Jesus Christ, in the way they want us to do, if we have knowledge. Now, God's made it available. It's just a matter of our acquiring it. As a church, as we get into this next step process, we're going to acquire some knowledge. We're going to acquire a new relationship with Jesus Christ. Folks, it is not supposed to be stagnant. It is supposed to be new every day. And it can be. It can be a wonderful life as we acquire knowledge about Jesus. Now, I don't know about you. Some of you have experienced a little rheumatism, a little arthritis. It hurts when you grab something. It hurts when you bend a finger. And so there are things that you can't do anymore. He's not here, and so I can talk about him behind his back. Bobby Wood. Bobby is such a fine man. He and I were working on the roof trying to get the leak fixed. And Bobby picked up a roll, 70 pounds, of tar paper or roofing material, and went up the ladder with it on his shoulder. I don't think I could do that. I used to, but I can't do it anymore. And then he took a 60-pound bucket of roofing material up the ladder by himself. We'd gotten a lift to boost them all up there. And so there are things that you can't do anymore for one reason or another. But you know what's so neat about this? And again, we find it in verse 3. The things that God wants to do for us, He does not expect us to do. He wants to do them for us. God is the one who will change us. We don't have to change ourselves. There's probably nobody in this room who has not at one time or another made a New Year's resolution that you didn't keep. Everybody makes New Year's resolutions. Some of them last as long as 15 seconds. God wants to be our source of power. God wants to be our source of energy. God wants to be our provider. God wants to be able to reach out and use us to do what He intended to do with us. To receive excellent service from each one of us. So, what we're going to be looking at in these next few weeks is not what we're going to be doing. What we're going to be looking at in these next few weeks is what God is going to be doing in your life. He is the one who's going to do it. He is the one who wants to do it. And that's what Peter is talking about here. God has certain things He wants you to do. He has certain abilities He wants you to have. And so that's what we're going to do. The Next Step program that we're going to get into here as a church together, arm in arm, is going to be a matter of walking with God more closely than we ever have before. And man, you talk about blessings. God has some blessings for each one of you and for me. And how do you picture God sitting up on His throne in heaven? With a teaspoon ladling out, you know, a blessing here, a blessing there? No. God's got a bushel basket He just wants to dump on you. But we're not in the place that He can do that. So that's what we're going to look at. We're going to, I want to explain the path that we're going to be walking on during the next several weeks. And we'll do that so that nobody in this auditorium need be fearful. No one. God's not someone to be afraid of. Oh, we're to have the fear of God, but we don't have to be afraid of Him. He wants to bless you. He wants to help you. He wants to use you. He wants to see you changed. When you got saved, there was a change. Now that you're walking with God, day by day, that change should continue to take place until the day you stand before His throne. So that's what God wants to do. Now, I'm going to start with a very reasonable concept. 1 Corinthians 14:33. 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. How many of you like peace? Huh? You like peace? I like peace. I don't like to fight. I like peace. Peace is nice. Peace is comfortable. And that's what God wants us to have here. It's pleasant. Next step series that we're going to be taking up, you will experience perfect peace as you experience God in some ways you have not experienced Him before. And it's going to be because God is the one who's going to do the work. He is. He doesn't generate confusion. Some people fear change because it's uncertain. But change with God yields great blessings as we become more like His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is one of the things that we're going to watch take place among us. Life becomes a series of steps. As we look back, we see the steps we've already taken, and in the same vein, the future. We are going to look at future steps and where those steps are going to take us and what those steps are going to accomplish in each of our lives. And they can, if you will take the step. Sometimes we're afraid to take a step because we don't know what the future might hold. We don't know what is there under what we're stepping on. Is it going to support us? Is it going to help us maintain our position of vertical? I assure you, it will. It will. The first step you've already taken. I hope that's an encouragement to you. The first step is when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Peter says here in 2 Peter chapter 1. First step is faith. Believing faith. And that could happen at almost any age. Some of you were saved when you were children. Some of you were saved as adults. The first step is faith. Now the second step is acquiring knowledge. Acquiring knowledge. Becoming familiar with the Word of God. Many born-again believers never reach the second step. They never acquire a knowledge of God because they're not discipled. When you were saved, I hope someone sat down with you and showed you what a Christian was supposed to be. If they didn't, then you're ready for the next step. It's just a matter of taking it. For some who read the Word occasionally, they're not taught to obey the Word. And thus the Apostle Peter addresses the problem in the first chapter of his second epistle. Most believers don't realize what an impact taking these next few steps can make in their lives. And they're not big steps. They're not giant steps. There's not a whole bunch of steps. It's one step at a time. That's how you got here this morning. One reasonable step at a time. And that's what Peter wants us to take. Folks, I'm not even half done with this message. We're going to have to continue on this. But what I want you to do, I want you to read. If you look in your bulletin, you'll see that there is a passage there. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 9. I want you to read that. And you look at that, and you will see steps laid out for you, for me. We will take those steps together. Strength in numbers. Able to help each other. Some may not be able to step up onto the curb or step over that obstacle. That's why we got our arms linked together. Folks, we're all going to take these steps together. The steps you're going to find there in Peter, 2 Peter 1, 3 through 9. And you will also see as you read that, you read it not just once, read it several times. And you will begin to see where God wants you to go and how he wants you to get there. And I want to tell you one word. The first thing that you add to your faith is virtue. You say, well, what is that, Brother Ken? Virtue can also be translated excellence. Excellence. So we're going to add to our faith excellence, virtue. And that's not a step you can take immediately. Sometimes it takes a little work. But we'll work together. We'll walk together. We'll accomplish together what God wants us to accomplish. I'm going to stop there for this morning. We're already over time. And the Lord has permitted me to have my voice to share some of this with you. He wants us to do this, folks. You're going to be seeing some changes take place here within the church itself. Some things we're going to start doing differently because, do I dare say, we have become somewhat stagnant. And we must overcome it. Deacons and I talked on Tuesday night about what the steps need to be, what we need to do. And folks, God is going to make it possible, and God is going to be the one who does it. And so as we come together, as we meet together to encourage one another, we're all on the same trail, remember? Same path. All going to wind up in the same place. But we'll help one another to get there. We'll take this up again. It's too important not to. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your love for each one of us. May your will be done in each life. Father, as we begin to add to our faith, help us to see it. Help us to understand it. And Father, you do it for us. May you make us more excellent. May you make us more profitable for thee, more fruitful. And Father, we will praise you for what you're doing in this ministry. And Father, weeks from now, when we have looked at all that Peter is saying, may we be in a different place, each one of us, closer to the place you would have us to be. And we will praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.